We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 381, if I'm not mistaken. Today we're brought to you by Mack Weldon. Here we are again outside the stadium after game four of the ALCS. Not as fun as games one and two of the ALDS.
No, definitely different games for a lot of different reasons. One, I didn't get here until the fifth inning because I had some major trek. Yeah, man, it was tough. Major transportation delays, and I was circling LaGuardia for, you know, a good four or five times, and then finally landed after seeing the tops of the buildings way too many times. You could literally see what people were doing inside their office.
Did you have Wi-Fi on the plane?
No.
So you didn't know what the hell was happening.
Yeah, I didn't get Wi-Fi. I'm very cheap when it comes to that.
When you landed, the Yankees were up. Right.
It was 1-0, and then almost immediately after I landed, the Springer hit that home run.
Yeah.
So I was getting a whole bunch of text messages from people saying that Springer hit it, the people that knew I was in the air, and I was getting updates. And then I looked at the box score and obviously was checking everything out. They were still good. I think I'm recording still. And, so I knew that was the case. And it took a solid hour to get out of LaGuardia because Uber there is a freaking disaster. And finally got to, it's only a 20-minute drive. It's really close. I picked LaGuardia for a reason.
You showed up in the I think, top or bottom of the fifth inning.
Fifth inning, yeah. I was here at the top.
The Yankees picked one hell of a day to play their worst baseball of the year. It's not literally a must-win game because there is a game tomorrow.
But it was a must-win game.
It's a must-win game when you have Tanaka, who's been your best postseason pitcher, on the mound at home to try and tie the series against Greinke, who is their weakest of the big three starting pitchers.
Which is not saying a lot.
He
didn't pitch great tonight because he was out early and definitely struggled.
Well, the first two innings, he was wild. The Yankees loaded the bases and then got a run thanks to a walk from Brett Gardner. That's not something you're used to seeing out of Greinke. And they just missed opportunities. Sanchez whiffed with the bases loaded. And it is the most frustrating thing in the world to watch your team in the playoffs put runners on base and then fail time after time after time with runners in scoring position. It's a helpless feeling. And since game one of this series, the Yankees have not had a hit with runners in scoring position.
That's been the story, man.
You're never going to beat the Astros if you cannot get hits with runners in scoring position. They're too good of a team.
I thought we exercised our demons with this whole runners in scoring position fail problem. Because over the past 3 to 4 years, probably even longer than that, it seems like that was one of the biggest storylines, right? That every time the Yankees get runners on, not the playoffs, regular season, just the team in general, It was a struggle to get them in. And this year, they turned a corner, and they were excelling in these. We had guys like Urshela and LeMahieu hitting like .450 with runners in scoring position and two outs even. We had high leverage situations with men on, and they were pulling through all year long. That's kind of what led to this whole next man up thing. The next guy was doing it with runners on. And now, when the rubber meets the road in the playoffs, they just haven't done it. And it's been like we've gone back a couple years in that sense, and it's super frustrating because you're looking at a team you think that has gone through that, has been in situations like this, built for those situations, and then still can't come through.
This is not hitting with runners in scoring position and runners on base in the playoffs, I think, is something that does not show up in analytics, and I think is 100% real, is that it's contagious in a negative way. And the guys in front of you are failing, and then you are pressing, putting more pressure on yourself. And I do think that's a real thing. Even though analytics nerds will tell you that's not a real thing and that has no bearing on what's going to happen in the next at-bat, what I'm watching from the Yankees is not good at-bats. They're not quality at-bats. So many first-pitch swings and lazy fly balls.
Again, that's part of the strategy, though. That's part of them trying to jump on.
Well, then at what point do you switch up the strategy? You're now down 3-1 in the series.
I get it. I don't have an answer to that. But what I can What I can tell you is that I think part of the strategy is when they see a good pitch, they jump on the good pitch. And that's what they've been doing, because these guys are tough. They're tough pitchers. And if you get something in the zone, if you get something in the area you're looking for, you should try to put a good swing on it. And I think that's what they've been looking for. If they see something where they are, it doesn't matter what the count is, they're jumping on it. And I think that's been apparent, because we've seen a ton. Didi's been all over it. Gio's been doing it. We've seen a lot of guys jump on the first pitch because they see something good. And obviously that is something that they've talked about.
The Tanaka comes out for the fifth inning. A couple guys get on. They bring in Green, and he gives up the home run to Correa. And I believe that was the sixth inning, not the fifth inning.
It was the sixth inning. It was the second inning. It was six to one.
And that felt like the series right there, because that's when the stadium...
Correa certainly was celebrating, going around.
That's when
the
stadium went quiet, and that's when the Yankees started to play like crap.
Yeah.
Booting the ball all over. Yeah. We played four errors in that game. Two by LeMahieu, two by Glaber. The first one to LeMahieu was a tough play. It ate him up. They still called it an error. The second one was inexcusable. And then both Glaber errors were lazy, inexcusable plays.
The second Glaber one was him. There was a play at home.
That was the first Glaber one. The second Glaber one, he literally just didn't put his glove down.
So the first one, there was definitely a play at home, because the ball was hit hard enough. And there was a play at home, and it's almost like he was just moving too fast for the play, and was was picking up before it happened, and then nothing happened. And it's just one of those. You're looking at the situations where they had opportunities, and that was an opportunity, because guys are looking for a double play at that point. But Glaber had a play at home to cut off a run, which is a huge deal. And who knows what happens then? If you get a clean pick, you go four. You might be able to get that double play at first base. But he didn't come up with a clean, and then the inning was just...
You have to play perfect against the Astros to beat them.
That's not even so much playing perfect. That's just playing fundamental baseball. That's fundamental baseball.
Well, perfect...
That's not saying, like, you have to be perfect on everything. Like, you just play defense.
This is what I mean. In order to beat the Astros in a series, you have to...
You can't make stupid mistakes.
Not make stupid mistakes and errors.
They will take advantage.
You have to capitalize on multiple runners in scoring position opportunities against good pitchers. Those don't come up often. It's not every day that you get five walks from Gerrit Cole. That is a gift from the heavens, and they wasted it. Same with Zach Greinke today. And Zach
walked three guys. Before I got there, I was looking at the box score, sitting in the freaking Uber at LaGuardia, and I saw three walks, and these dudes did nothing.
And
Greinke's
not the pitcher of Gerrit Cole, but he's still a damn good pitcher.
Yes.
Cannot waste those opportunities.
A very different type of pitcher.
There was an at-bat, Greinke against Judge, that was in a key situation. And I'm like, oh, they're not going to really give anything to Judge. And it was slider, 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 curveball, 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 nothing really to hit. He works the count to 3-2 and then pumps a fastball by him. And that's just sort of the smart pitching of Greinke, where Judge was not ready for an 89-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, I mean, when you mix speeds that much and you change your location.
He threw a 64-mile-an-hour curveball today.
Yeah. That's the thing, when you can do that, when you can actually put those over the plate or close to the plate, then it doesn't matter how fast your top pitch is, because it's all about the speed difference. It's not so much about the top velocity, but it's about how much you can change speeds, because all you're doing is messing with timing, right? So it doesn't matter if you're throwing 98 miles an hour or you're throwing 89 miles an hour, because if you can change it up, if you can change up 89 miles an hour, 64, or even in the low 70s, and you make it look like a similar pitch in the same arm slot, you're doing your job. It doesn't matter how hard you throw.
I want to take a minute to tell you guys about Mack Weldon. They are a premium men's essential brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. They make a ton of stuff, from comfortable underwear to socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and more that you will wear and you will love. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial. I believe I said that correctly. What is that? Well, it means they eliminate odor, and that's always a good thing, especially if you're going to a bunch of baseball games in hot July and August heat. They want you to be comfortable. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it, and they will still refund you. No questions asked. I actually have a few of their products. I have three of their polos, all in different colors. I love these things. Once I find a shirt that I like, I just buy a bunch of colors of it.
I've golfed in it. I've gone out to dinner in it. I've gone to work in it. I think I've even gone to the beach in it. It is lightweight. For the summer, it's perfect. It breathes. It looks great. It doesn't really get wrinkled, which is also a key. You can just throw it in the laundry and not worry about it. Go check it out. Whatever it is you want to shop for, menswear, they have it. They're the place to go. For 20% off your first order, visit macweldon.com and enter promo code pinstripes. Again, that's macweldon.com. Enter promo code pinstripes.
So two more things that I want to talk about. I want to talk about CeCe. We'll maybe save that for the end. But I want to also talk about the bullpen, the Yankees bullpen. They've had to pitch a ton. And I think it's getting to a point where the Astros hitters are now seeing them for third and fourth times, that they actually can get comfortable against them because they have multiple at-bats against Chad Green, Tommy Kahnle, Adam Ottavino, who's looked shitty all series.
Again
comes in. It's a three-run game when he comes in. And it's like, well, Ottavino has to pitch sometime. Well, does he in a game you have to win? Does he really have to go out there and give up more runs to make it that much more difficult on you? But when the bullpen's pitching every day multiple innings, it's going to get worn out, and the guys are going to get looks at it. I think it's a problem that we're seeing manifest right now.
It's a philosophical problem with this team. We've seen it manifest. Look, there's one of these teams that has won a World Series in the past 5-6 years. When the Royals won the World Series, they had that super bullpen. But they still got more length in their starting pitching. It wasn't great starting pitching.
It was like 5 innings every game, which compared to what the Yankees are giving them,
it's
like complete games.
They got a little bit more depth, and they were able to string. And the other thing about that, the thing that people don't realize, is that they ended those series short. They didn't go long series. They were able to get
through
them.
Other than the last series, the 7-game against.
But they were the DS.
Oh, no. I'm thinking about the series they lost to the Giants. But yeah, the one
they
beat the Mets.
They were able to get through those series without going deep. And when you can do that, your bullpen can be fine there. When you start getting deeper into a series, and you get into the sixth, seventh game, then you're going to be pressed. If you don't have starting pitching, you're absolutely going to be pressed because those same guys that have been bailing you out in the first four games are the ones you're still relying on. And guess what? They're not used to that shit. Especially
with
the Yankees this year.
The Astros are such a good lineup, but there are holes in that lineup, and it's 8 and 9 usually in the batting order. Chirinos was hitting 8th for them today, and in the third inning, Tanaka walks him to lead off the inning. It's unacceptable when you're facing the bottom of the order and you have a 1-0 lead. Tanaka, you cannot walk him. It's kind of like a little silly to get on Tanaka because he's been their most successful starting pitcher, but he has to be dominant. He has to be perfect for them if they're gonna win.
Yeah, no, he has to. And you know, I wasn't here for the first 4 innings.
Those were the good innings comparatively.
Well, I mean, when I got here, they had the bases loaded and the stadium was going crazy and they had opportunities and they just didn't take advantage of those opportunities. They didn't get the big hit. All series long, we haven't gotten that big hit when it really needed, when it was really a necessity.
Other than the first game, which they actually hit with runners on base, no, nothing. They got the Judge home run in game 2. They got Jack in game 3 and a Gary Sanchez home run, which was nice, but came at the wrong time.
Put him back in the game. Like, there was an opportunity to be back in the game, but yeah. Sanchez's even bigger opportunity before that was the bases loaded in the first when he struck out.
And
from what all I hear, it was terrible. It was a terrible at bat.
Oh, yeah, horrible. It just looked – they looked uninterested to be there in the last couple innings. The fans all left. There was Astros' chance in the 9th inning.
There was nobody in the stadium.
No, there was maybe 5,000 people there in the last inning.
Yeah.
And a few hundred Astros fans chanting. It's pathetic in game 4 of the ALCS, but that's what happens when you get your butts kicked at home. You're at home. You come back. You stole the game in Houston you needed to steal. And you come back, and you've laid 2 giant eggs at Yankee Stadium. It's embarrassing.
This is 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. They kicked the crap out of the Twins, but the Twins stink. The Twins are awful.
This is exactly what happened with the Red Sox. when they went and they beat them. They split the series at Fenway. Judge plays the New York. We're feeling great coming home. They get their asses kicked, their teeth kicked in, and they're not backing it up at home. Right now, all this talk about home field advantage is all a bunch of smoke. It means
road teams,
nothing.
Road teams have won 3 out of the...
So can we put this narrative to bed?
Well, I don't know. I still think it's important, but...
Why? Why do you think it's important? What have you seen that has shown you that it's important?
I don't know.
Nothing. On paper, it sounds
important. It's impossible
to
say because the Yankees have played like crap. But you got to catch a train, so we're going to wrap this up. But
they shouldn't be playing like this at home. They're making mindless errors at home.
So the rain delay, the rain out on Wednesday, we talked about it. Is it going to help them? Is it going to hurt them? The fact of the matter is, for game 4 alone, in a vacuum, it gave them a real opportunity to win and tie the series again because they had Tanaka versus Greinke. That is, in my mind, a clear, decisive advantage for the Yankees. And it didn't happen. They played like crap. Tanaka didn't pitch great. He didn't pitch horrible, but he didn't pitch great.
He had that one mistake, really.
Well, then he also got the 2 runners on in the 6th inning. But
yeah.
They were maybe extending him too long because you can't give up any more runs there, but they brought him back out. But the team as a whole played terrible. It was I'm not exaggerating. Maybe the worst baseball we've seen them play since
April. That was
bad.
It was bad baseball.
You can't make 4 errors in an
ALCS
game.
And they were terrible at bats.
4 errors in an ALCS game is an embarrassment.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. No, it's when you look at the fundamentals of baseball, I don't care what you're looking at with your eyes or with the numbers, everybody will agree. If you can't play the fundamentals correctly, you're going to have problems. They're all going to look bad. And when you're making 4 errors, when LeMahieu was making errors, LeMahieu made 2 errors
tonight.
There's
a glitch in the matrix.
There's like something. What's happening? What is happening? LeMahieu's making 2 errors?
Sabathia limping off the mound crying. That was...
Crying?
I forget who came down and told us they were watching on the TV screens. I haven't seen it either. I'm just going by word of mouth, which maybe it's wrong. So sorry if I'm giving wrong information here. But apparently he was crying walking off the
mound. I mean, look.
Injury. He comes in. He gets an ovation on his way in. It's a no-win situation for him because the Yankees are losing.
It's a bad game.
And he's coming in with runners on base. And it's the last time he's going to pitch in a Major League Baseball game. Certainly the last time he's going to pitch maybe at Yankee Stadium.
Nah, he's done after that. And it's unfortunate that he's done after that.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, before the injury, in fans' minds, they're like, well, this series isn't looking great, so this is most likely the last time we're going to see him. And then he gets injured. So it was already the last time we were going to see
right.
him. But now the last time we have to see him is him
limping
off the mound with an injury.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. It does suck. But it also, you know what it shows? It shows the warrior, the battle of CeCe. I think... If you look at it, you can look at it 2 different ways. You could see an older guy limping off, or you could see a guy that wasn't at 100% and the team needed somebody and he was pushing through as much as possible. I'm going to go that route because CeCe's been a really, really good Yankee his entire career here. And he's been one of those guys that you just look at and you know you can depend on. So I kind of refuse to see the negative of the side of that, you know, on like the bad him limping off. I'm looking at that guy who was just fighting as hard as he could to be on there and try to pitch.
He tried to throw a pitch to
and he did.
Keep out there.
And he told everybody to go away, and he was good. And then he threw a pitch, and he realized that he wasn't. Yeah. So it's one of those things, man.
Verlander
the guy's been a Warriors whole career.
Verlander and Paxton, game 5. At this point, it's just like scratch and claw and try and make something happen. If you can get through Verlander, then you've got a 6-7. You got a bullpen game in game 6, and then they're going to throw Cole in game 7. But if you can get to a game 7,
who knows?
Who knows what happens? So it's not looking pretty, but it's not over yet.
Not over yet. Not over yet.
We will probably be back here tomorrow night, hopefully talking about a win.
Yeah.
Talk to you then, guys.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.